interrupting the current neo-Euclideanial climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 562. We continue, and we will continue, as long as we get your help, as we are in February, Donation Drive Month. We're going to need your help this year for sure. It has to come a little bit quicker than it was before. Grimner used to cover the costs up front, and then we would cover him as you would, and your generosity would cover that for him. And we did that for over a decade. And now it's a little different. We're going to have the cash up front. I hope you can respond very quickly here, as we are going to need to cover the servers and the domains and all that neat stuff that has to be covered to keep at least this voice on the air, and hopefully some more coming in the future. And because the censorship is keen, and we're going to have to create a way to be able to maneuver in that kind of environment in the future, because being free is not a spectator sport. You need to get you behind a woodshed. You do have to pick your battles. However, we can choose which ones we want to do and focus in on those and make those really important. I think there's enough people in the world to be able to attack the types of oppressions that we're finding that otherwise make people defenseless, and you just watch it foaming up in the world. It's pretty interesting on one hand, terrifying on the other, because they live, folks. They live right around you, and they're willing to hurt you. But here, freelibertymedia.com, we have the freedom of choice in media, and that's going to be developed a little bit more, as I understand. And thank you for your emails asking for more contact. I didn't follow up to find out whether a dedicated email would be made. We had talked about it, and someone said that would happen. I didn't get in touch this late to find out. What I did do is found out that go to reallibertymedia.com/contact-RLM/. Let's find the contact page for the RLM, and there's a form to fill out. And for the time being, you can fill out that form and just explain, maybe put a donation in the subject or support in the subject. If you cannot use PayPal. There's now some nice cherry red buttons for us to find a lot quicker than they were before, and we're trying to develop this to make it fairly simple. If you don't use PayPal, you have a different way. I believe it's going to be a requirement to use, we'll need United States dollars. I think I've had a couple questions on that. Thank you very much out of this country. I appreciate your listening and your support, even your emails all these years, everybody who's been communicating, working this thing out. So best as you can, as you can, we can donate really quickly. I understand within a week here that we've got a decent bill to pay right up front, and they kind of go through the beginning of the month. And so if you can help out, appreciate all that you have so far. Those of you donated, really appreciate that. It'll get us on the boards a bit here, and we got a little ways to go, and I'll continue asking and as we need it here in this month of February, and hopefully I can really quit like we used to. We just asked, you gave, and we ran, and we keep running. Because it's becoming a very interesting world, if nothing else, certainly dangerous in lots of ways. Lots of people are noticing now, right up around us. It doesn't matter. Something has been loosed upon the world. People have lost their minds. And we've got to navigate that and be as reasonable about it and empathetic with it as we can. At some point, we have to then respond. And we'll have to choose those battles, if we will, as well. It will become it is certainly a target-rich environment, certainly a subject-matter-rich environment that's coming at us at full speed. And things that we thought we could trust, things that we thought were working for us and serving us, haven't. And those nowadays we're being exposed, those truths. U.S. Navy reportedly failed to warn veterans of radiation exposure. And this has been an ongoing saga with the United States military over and over. Some close friends and colleagues of mine are part of that problem, where the United States Navy doesn't tell you what's going on with the chemicals that you are around, and then they hide the fact, or where you live on the bases, they don't tell you, and you have to find out why are all your parts falling off of you, why are there nodules growing all over you. Well, it was because the government wasn't helping you, they were using you, and we got wrapped up in this thing called patriotism. We forgot our real protection is at home. We were told by the founding fathers that don't get into foreign entanglements. You see how doing the contrary works, and not very well, unless you become just a club in the world, beating, and I don't mean the type you join, the type you get beat down with like a baby seal. But for more than 20 years, the United States Navy has been aware of multiple environmental contaminants at one of their bases, a news agency said. One seemingly healthy veteran recently died last month after being diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which can be caused by radiation exposure, the National Cancer Institute said. Gilbert Wyand, the veteran, who had lived and worked at the Long Beach Naval Shipyard in California in the 1980s, after Wyand's cancer diagnosis, his son found a Navy report published in June of 2023 that shows that the Navy has been aware of radiation at the shipyard for at least two decades. Initial contamination at the shipyard occurred from 1940s to the 1960s due to workers disposing of toxic waste, according to the Naval Facilities Engineering Systems Command report that Wyand's son found. In 2008, Navy officials confirmed that the levels of radium and strontium far exceeded the remediation goals set for public safety. The Navy veteran could have been exposed to radium-226 and strontium-90, which are radionuclides that have been linked to leukemia and other cancers. But Wyand and other veterans were not alerted about the potential risk of exposure because there's no system in place to notify veterans of potential exposure after a base closes, Navy spokesman Lieutenant Commander Joe Kiley said. The fact that there is no outreach system in place means that tens of thousands of veterans who worked in the shipyard could have been exposed to deadly radiation and are unaware, American News reports. So that's military intelligence at work right there, folks. I'll tell you how easy it is here when you really want to. This is a public and veteran service announcement and brought to you behind the woodshed. We encourage any veterans who lived and worked at the Long Beach Naval Shipyard in California and believe that they were exposed to toxins during the military service or who may be experiencing uncharacteristic health problems to coordinate with their local Veterans Affairs office. There. Was that so hard, you military criminals? This was a public service announcement, folks, behind the woodshed. If you know veterans that were on these bases and you think you have something, just take this notice as a note, this one right here, from them. They don't know how to tell you that you have problems. We would realize why that would be a problem, why they don't want to tell you. But here, those of you at Long Beach, for sure, get yourself checked out, maybe get yourself some better care, and tell them you heard it behind the woodshed. More of this nonsense. Secrets withheld by governmental institutions, those that you can trust, folks. U.S. Health Agency hushed COVID vax myocarditis warning. The officials prompted the vaccines even after drafting a memo about the deadly associated heart condition. U.S. Centers for Disease Control never sent an urgent health alert it had drafted in May of 2021. How do you like them apples, folks? They even had the system of notification and didn't use it. So I don't really listen to the military's excuse on top of that for this reason as well. This is regarding a potential fatal side effect linked to the COVID vaccinations it was promoting and continued to push the shots without warning the public. Interjection, there is no COVID vaccinations, folks. I've been through this over and over. Please understand, have your mind click in as soon as you hear those words from anybody. COVID vaccinations didn't exist. They just don't exist. Is it my opinion? No, it's the law. The communicable disease law in every state, everywhere. In an interagency email titled Draft Alert on Myocarditis and mRNA Vaccines, obtained by the outlet, CDC official Dr. Dmitry Daskalaki informed two high-ranking colleagues that he had attached the most recent draft of the alert as discussed. 2 days before the email was sent, the CDC told state officials it was closely monitoring post-vaccination cases of myocarditis and pericarditis at similar conditions and acknowledge that such cases can be serious. However, the public was not notified until weeks later, and the CDC continued to promote the jabs to all Americans even after the risk was made public. And that was a better word, jabs, because they're not vaccines. Interagency, they're calling them vaccines. They are a federal agency with no actual authority. They have the authority of suggestion. That's it, if you ever call that an authority. The responsibilities in the local jurisdictions, the United States of America is set up that way, There was a reserve power for health concerns to the states and then to the counties, the local government. I have explained all about this to you. Until the president got a whole bunch of counties saying that they had an epidemic that they unfraudulently identified the cause for, not just a bunch of stuffy head, sneezing, feeling, hecky, achy type feelings. No, the real cause of this thing. He didn't have any power. And you saw, I told you, it was coming in reverse. I predicted all that. It was coming in reverse. They would give license to this thing because Trump would say it's a thing, and it would then move, and they did. And the money went backwards. So all that thing was telling us it's not right. And no one stops it. But here, you know, we trust the government, right? The government is safe and effective here. Safe and effective, trust and confidence worthy. Right, folks? And that is a big deal that people, I think, are already letting go as we keep watching the game, the kabuki theater politics going through this country right now. And anyway, moving it through here. We were not told they had a draft. They would not give it to us. They would not suggest at all that there was no vaccines. They certainly wouldn't suggest that there was going to be homes. But here you were told different here behind the woodshed. And that should be really enough said. And again, you can watch, go to the X Twitter and find the op hashtag hindsight 2020. And you'll find it beginning around December in 2019 when I started talking about this and pointing this out. Would the people recognize what happened to them in 9/11 as what was going to happen to them coming up, as the government refined how it was going to go make cause more controls in our lives and more constraints and move this agenda, which we think is somewhere else, actually move the sustainability goals right forward. And it's a bunch of layers of control that are coming through. Partly why I opened the broadcast with the behaviorally controlled. These are the crickets. They just don't move. And then we're going to find out maybe today how I'm finding out for myself there's actually not the drones, the crickets that sit there and enjoy the sound of silence, but there's the ones that move. And so we'll get to that in a moment. Before I do that, based in this COVID swindle, it's coming out, maybe the Slovakian prime minister may have been listening behind the woodshed, as we can find an article now from the Vigilant Fox Substack. Slovakia's prime minister announces inquiry into the COVID circus and the vaccines. Again, there's everybody who even understands that these were bad and not vaccines uses the word vaccines. And so this is the main problem I'm finding right now. This sets up something in our minds that won't really identify this up front. And we continue to reference what the occupier wanted us to reference them, and that becomes a mind virus, as we've now hearing we all have apparently, and I see it over and over here. So that's why I always make this compensation, I suppose, the idea that we should be using jabs. We should be using everything other than vaccines. We're speaking correctly in the law, in the minimum, if not in reality. But he accused this Prime Minister, Robert Fitzko. He accused the previous governments of prioritizing pharma's interest over the public's. Quote, they made a lot of money from unnecessary purchases of various medical supplies and vaccines. Furthermore, Fitzko confronted public officials accusing them of turning a blind eye to vaccine-related cardiovascular deaths. He says, we will publish and tell the Slovak public what really happened during the COVID period, Prime Minister declared. So, let's hope so. Let's hope they get that over. The way I listen to you, get to that link, you'll see there's a video. Listen to it, you have to read the subtitles. And I think he's starting a little bit too late in his analysis. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of him through the Twitter or someplace and ask him to look at the prior regime did not use the law, and he should have. They should have, and that should be his first step. And then he'll prove all the things he just said was accurate, except that they were vaccines. Now he'll understand how that is and how to prove that without a question, without getting into a debate over some psychopath that wants to promote the next one, disease X, so-called. And so, again, these authoritative experts in the so-called health field, the CDC was shown to be wrong. We've shown to be not give public the advice they should have given. And we find that it's not related only to the United States. It's an international problem, as you would notice when you start understanding it is interconnected. But the WHO, Europe, calls for urgent measles vaccination. Now we get more vaccination for measles. The international body has pointed to a 40-fold jump in cases between 20 and 23. But here, these are organized, internationally organized crime brokers, who we're talking about here. You saw the unbridled government interest what that did to the Kanukistinian truckers and the late reversal and delay causing injustice to them with the Trudeau tyranny. Let's look at the consequence of the interest of a criminal government influence that has to trust in measles vaccinations if those are actually vaccinations and valid. But remember, if you apply the communicable disease law, someone has to be found with the infectious agent before they are to be doing treatment. Not the treatment before you find what's going on. And this is an interesting, I don't see anybody talking about this one. I've been talking about this for a long time. They have this thing, the cart before the horse, on most every, all of it. The WHO, not the rock group, the OWL, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization, Europe, calls for urgent measles vaccinations. The international body has pointed to the 40-fold jump. The agency's European branch sounded alarms over the surge in cases in a press release published on Tuesday, noting that Kazakhstan has been among the hardest hit nations. Quote, as in other countries of the region, the virus is spreading rapidly and the outbreak is attributed largely to the accumulation of susceptible children who missed routine immunization doses during the COVID-19 pandemic. They're getting a lot of mileage out of this fraud, the COVID swindle. 65% of the reported measles cases in Kazakhstan have been children under 5 years of age. Is that all? I think isn't that normally higher than that? Anyway, keep going here. The rapid rise in measles infections is largely the result of backsliding in vaccination coverage during the COVID-19 pandemic with, quote, significantly impacted immunization system performance in Europe, according to the WHO. So who caused the missing of vaccines, if valid, if actually immunizing, now completely in question? So, and not intending to be redundant, who caused it? Clearly, the WHO itself, because of the COVID swindle that it promoted. But the question actually is, how many deaths is this causing? That answer is not forthcoming in the article. The closest we get, we can read, is caused by a highly contagious airborne virus. Measles symptoms typically include coughing and fever. In the rare cases, they lead to brain inflammation. Can I read that up again? Rare cases, folks? They lead to brain inflammation, pneumonia, blindness, and even death. Though palliative treatments are available to reduce the severe symptoms, the vaccinations have led to major reductions in global infections in recent decades. There is currently no cure for the illness. Wow, listen to that last bit. If you folks have been reading the communicable disease law to get familiar, as I've been asking you, you would know that last clause proved there is no such thing as a measles vaccination. Why? The communicable disease law says it will stop the infectious agent. The vaccine stops it in its tracks. There's no cure, folks. They admit right here. So no cure means, as required by the local communicable disease law, there's no vaccine. And the danger is rare. This was a risk assessment thing. Now, there are some kids, little ones, that will get, even older folks, that can get this and it can really hurt them. You have to look for those comorbidity, those susceptibilities. But for the general part, if I remember right, you almost had measles parties just to get rid of it, just to get it done and go be through it, and then back out in the street you went. But not for everyone in rare cases. And I hope you're not one of the rare cases. Otherwise, this wasn't a very big deal, if I remember right. But they're making a big issue over the surging. I think it happens every year, doesn't it? So what the WHO should be doing is identifying those who are susceptible, those rare instances, so that people can assess the actual risk to the very small group of kids that potentially can be affected. And for them, this is a serious issue. So I don't want to undermine that and underestimate it. But again, rare. But here we know, and I've been showing it for years, the WHO is a broker of HARMA. The P's are silent. HARMA. There's no money in protecting only rare occurrences and susceptibility. There's only money in terrorizing the populations that the WHO, the CDC, and other cohorts are terrorists acting contrary to local law. So I've been asking you to go prove that to yourself by reading that local communicable disease. What's more hateful and full of false information than this, as we're finding out? The government can't be trusted. It won't even give the information it should. It doesn't want to expose that it's not really helping us. And we're starting to see the world come to alive to it. I hope the resistance doesn't start to die off, because people become essentially bribed off and get what they think they want instead of looking at what really the overarching problem is. So here, there is admittedly no cure, so concerned mothers and fathers need to study to see who may be susceptible to make the risk assessment, and the who will be of no help. We can see here clearly, and likely the whole of the medical profession may not be at this time either, given there's no medicine to give them. That's what that whole system is set up for. The WHO and all governmental health jurisdictions of the world and HRMA have destroyed the trust they needed to keep. If we can look very clearly at what's going on, but I think this is a good thing, as I've been explaining. I hope my listener thinks so too and takes responsibility for your own health, for those around you, such that there may be. And that's a difficult thing. Don't get nosy, but maybe offer your opinion, but it's very difficult to get other people to listen to sense. I don't know why, but that's what it is. Everyone has their research and their study they did through Google. You know, I find it wanting, and I find it preclusive of better conditions, and very difficult to work through, and then to work through the massive disinformation that's purposely put out there. Look at what the government did to taint this whole thing. It's very difficult to look through what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years to see clearly. I mean, remember, we had the pig's fly flu. That started some initiation of this immune system dysfunction as well. It's not just a COVID swindle. They did the pig's fly flu. It would be a real thing that was hurting people, but they had a vaccine for when pigs fly. And I looked. I haven't got hit by a flying pig yet, so I don't think that's gone on yet. I think they're just using it. They've been diminishing people for a long time. Again, the future they want is depopulation. And this works really well. And if they can't get that, they'll diminish your life, and they'll make you subject to their whims by their medications, and they'll drag this out with you. As long as you're healthy, you get drug out farther, they make more money, or they have more debt, or they go after your property. They go through the state to do that as well. So it's a big scam that's been going on. Organized criminals. So this is a good story. It's the admission of non-governmental culpability and one's right to avoid the use of patient's occupier, if not denounce and throw them out. That's the international rule for being occupied in whatever you find, wherever you find it. You're oppressed. I've told you this before, the Attorney General of the United States, I've looked around for their duties. Look for their duties. The one in the United States, I'm talking about the states, they're supposed to help and defend the defenseless and the oppressed. Are they doing that for us? No. So they're not our system anymore. So once you get that kind of washed from your brain, you're able to look a little bit truer as to the real reality of what's going on. Because a psychopath's gonna psychopath. Here we have a sustainable food system switch could create up to $10 trillion in benefits yearly. The commission has proposed a plan to overhaul food production across the globe that could save lives as well as the economic costs. If the global food system were overhauled and we could bring trillions of dollars worth of benefits, according to a report published on Monday by the Food System Economics Commission, another bureaucracy. There's all these bureaucracies. They're unelected officials that make these statements. But anyway, move on here with this story. They're going after your food. They go after your little ones. They want your life. They want to control it. And they know how to go after you. Your food's probably number one. If they could take your air away, they would do that real fast, but they can't. So they just tell you that's poison, so you don't want to breathe, or you make you a criminal for breathing. But they go after your food system. Water as well. This is all the modernization stuff I've been talking about the United States put in place around 2010, 2011. Well, that was back again when pig's fly flu happened too, right? Currently, the way in which the food is being produced, marketed, and consumed globally adds up to $15 trillion in losses a year, which is equivalent to 12% of the GDP in 2020. Let me throw in another thing here. This is the statements from the farm-to-fork fraud that they want to do on us, and they commingled production with commerce in doing that. And my colleagues and I, we identified that through the Jefferson Mining District of all places, because we're talking in protecting producers through Jefferson Mining District, even though our focus was miners. It is about production. The same rights apply across the board, essentially, relative to the use of the land. So it was easy to move out into production. We were able to study this in this very particular thing. This farm to fork is to fork you, actually, is to combine commerce with production. And it's not supposed to be done. That's how they're taking you out. That's why the farmers in Europe are becoming so powerful, because their production and they're not inside that commerce, whether they understand that or not. That's why I say be careful in how they argue. But moving to this article here, the sustainable food system. Quote, the recent evolution of food system has fueled but continues to inflame some of the greatest and gravest challenges facing humanity, notably persistent hunger, undernutrition, the obesity epidemic, loss of biodiversity, environmental damage, and climate change, the report writes. Quote, the economic value of the human suffering and planetary harm is well above $10 trillion a year, more than the food systems contribute to the global GDP. In short, our food systems are destroying more value than they create. Interjection, you're going to eat dollars, I suppose. That's what they want. It's green. Dollars are green too, folks, right? Well, in the United States they are. That'll suffice, right? That's nutritious. Goes on to say here, quote, the economic value of this human suffering on the planetary $10 trillion. So now they're putting a harm on actually you eating right there if you pick that up. It's fascinating. But quote, there is no longer, it's actually pretty hilarious what they come up with. But people believe this stuff. And you're watching, I know it's hard to believe. Some of I can't believe it. It's hard to believe, but people actually believe this and they're getting their way. The people of the future they want, not your future, but their one that they want, is gaining steam. And I'm glad to see lately people are responding to the consequence of when they interfere with our production. I'm finally happy to see more people are kind of seeing it that way, even though they don't really discuss it that way. And that's part of the danger. We have to get to our fundamental power, which is our fundamental right to exist without interference with these types. But here this report goes on. There is no longer time to delay the inevitable. The inevitable. The report highlights the steps that policymakers must take now to create a healthier, more sustainable future. Michael Pollan, a food writer and Harvard professor, said. Ivy League again, right there, coming up. This has to be a mind virus caused by jab harm. If not, just another psychopath in low places, folks. I just don't know why we keep up with it. And if you listen very carefully, this guy sounds just like climate criminal Kerry, who recently resigned from his post as a Soviet climate czar, replaced by the Hillary Clinton's campaign manager and political consultant, John Pizzagate. It's for the children of Podesta. And what does this guy know about anything sustainable unless it would be a criminal organization and propaganda management? And the admission that climate change is not about the weather, but the political usurpation. He's a political campaign manager put in this place because climate change is not about the weather. It's a political usurpation of transforming everyone's government. Except, here, we've got to take note, this is a change. When you read this article, read for this change in direction of the ongoing attack against us. Pretty fascinating what they're doing in this article. They're moving the goalpost and maybe moving it into another park, actually. From don't produce food because it's not sustainable to here, you've been a failure producing food and causing global malnutrition, so we'll show you how to produce food sustainably, is what they've done here. So I think it's time people finally say that these sustainably organized criminals, get thee behind me, Satan. That's all I can figure out matches this. And remove these sustainable types to a small, daily submersible rock outcropping in the South China Sea and bring actual ag science back before and prior to being replaced by these sustainable corruption to the state universities where it used to be and used to be used to help those whose calling it is to be farmers or ranchers or others, even miners. Any producer would go to their local state university to get the real science, the real studies that were being done. There's a few out there, but they're really sustainable sustainability hubs. And the producers would go there to be able to learn how to make, to do better food production. And before the government figured out to consider producing food is a hate crime. Because we know you hate the Gaia, you hate others that because you're not working in communities because of your carbon dioxide. It's an insidious point. But if we got back to the producers, at the farmers that we're hearing, the noise coming from Europe. I hope the United States picks this up. We've got a whole bunch of producers. That even includes manufacturing. So we have a whole lot of people that could come to bear to run this thing back offshore and drown it. Just put it in the seas that are rising as we will. But no, right now over the pond, We have the EU on a resolution to list hate speech as a crime speech. And so our speech is being turned into crime. What we want to say in protection of ourselves is being turned into a crime. If it's anything that they don't like, it's going to be hate. And the EU is the leading bureaucracy to impose this. Remember, the European Union is not Europe. And I would like to have you make a mental distinction. The nations that are all over in Europe are European, and I'm not talking about behind a tree or anything. No, they're countries. They're overloaded by the European Union. They want to claim a democracy created it, but you'll see they're not working in representation, certainly of the producers. As you can see, the riots going on, the resistance coming out. I can't say riots. They're actually pretty organized. These tractors and these trucks all starting to stop the arteries of commerce. See, producers are now stopping the arteries of commerce. And that's what really messes with the governments. But here we have hate speech. It's always been a problem. Without a proper definition, if it, one is all possible, we read, as part of the growing support for censorship within the EU, the EU Parliament has cast their votes for a resolution regarding making so-called hate speech a crime throughout the Union. The Union, the more perfect Union, the more perfectest Union, I suppose. The decision, which critics have likened to Orwell's Big Brother, is set to redefine the landscape of freedom of speech within the European Union. The move has garnered substantial attention due to the potential impact of individual liberties. Critics argue that this could be an overreach and that the suppression of free speech, yet the EU Parliament remains firm in its stance, asserting that the radical change is a crucial step in combating hate and is plowing ahead. Despite that, the current EU legal framework only covers hate speech and hate crimes on some basis, but there is currently no common comprehensive legal definition at the Union level. The document calls for extending the definition of sex, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, gender expression, sex characteristics, age, disability, and any other fundamental characteristics. Absent an objective definition, it's easy to imagine that the last one functioning as a blank check to cover whatever anyone might be offended by. So, is my listener triggered yet relative to all this? Remember, this is the same unbridled government interest that provided misinformation, causing irreparable harm in the great COVID swindle, and blamed on you to claim the need to track and trace everyone. And don't think this big data brother can't track you down without that information when it feels threatened by you for anything it makes up about you. I've talked about a lot of this stuff. It's just coming onto the news. I mean, it's finally coming in our face. How a typo in a geofence warrant further endangered privacy. Everyone in a 2-mile radius became a suspect in a crime. Remember, bouncing around a little bit here, but these are all tied in. These rules and regulations and all these undefinable things is a reflexive law. It's how you can almost tell what it's about, because there is not going to be a definition. It's going to be up to someone who's been given the authority to pass judgment on people. And the cops can come with that generality and go and grab all kinds of people. We're seeing it in play right now, whether people recognize it. 2-mile radius. As paraphrased here, the classic pop song goes, some typos are bigger than others. Namely, a suspected typo in a geofence warrant is to blame for extending surveillance of everybody and their phone in a given physical location for a supposedly restricted one to one in one instance 2 miles over San Francisco, the report said. U.S. judges keep signing off on such a warrant, although the actual numbers are not entirely clear. Keeping the secret is one way for a country to implement a true functional democracy rule of law principle or not. And now we have evidence of things around geofencing going south, not only regarding the very nature of the thing, but also just related to clerical issues. Quote, many private homes were also captured in the massive sweep, ACLU attorney Jack Snow said in a blog post. The disturbing thing about the story, though, is the essential secrecy of it. Citizens are not even allowed to know which law enforcement outfit asked for the particular San Francisco warrant, nor time span it was covered. Those relying on geofencing surely must be aware that the practice is already so fraught with controversy that they literally can't afford to make more slips. But they don't seem to be aware of it, and here we are, on top of the whole thing being a mess from the standpoint of civil rights. And my listener knows what those are, but let's go on. They think they're civil liberties and sheer legality. Now geofencing warrants are a feature costly to civil liberty typos. And it says civil rights there. We know those are exactions of every kind by 42 U.S.C. 1981, extortions. When you go to civil liberties is what they should be talking there. That shows you these attorneys are either ignorant or they don't know what they're part of the agency to continue this nonsense. But geofencing warrants with a typo that extends to everyone in an area? Wow. Amazing. We didn't think, and they make it up, too, against you. See, I've been telling you all this. Or maybe here this author is not aware that the civil rights means to enjoy extortions of every kind, and I would think being a lawyer, maybe they don't understand that. But my take on this was that would mean that we already live in two-minute cities, roughly, wouldn't it? We're already controlled now. We're already digitally controlled by a typo. We don't need a law to create it. Again, they can create stuff that we are not aware of. It's not within our perception to understand. It is a fascinating concept. And speaking of being righteously critical of Big Brother, religious groups criticize government and surveillance of religious text transactions. Religious leaders and advocates for religious freedom are expressing significant concern. This comes from information that has surfaced as part of their investigation of January 6, 2021. Federal officials encouraged banks and other financial entities to surveil customer accounts using search terms such as religious text, MAGA, and Trump. According to the statement by Representative Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, such surveillance was orchestrated by the Department of Treasury Office and Stakeholders Integration and Engagement in collaboration with the FBI. Quote, according to this analysis, the FinCEN warned financial institutions of, quote, extremism indicators that include transportation charges such as bus tickets, rental cars, and plane tickets for travel areas with no apparent purpose, or the purchase of books including religious texts and subscriptions to other media containing extremist views, Jordan wrote. Religious text is extremist now, huh? You see how they did this? In other words, FinCEN used large financial institutions to comb through the private transactions of their customers for suspicious charges on the basis of protected political and religious expression. I wonder if they could also get a two-minute warrant for that, for everyone around them. Interesting what they will do to us. And religious. You think you have a religious right? It has nothing. It says it means nothing to this government anymore. You think you have a right to your beliefs? No. That's a behavior, ultimately. The only statute taken out of a hate crime should tell one all they need to know. What is the charge for the world? As we read, U.S. man faces hate crime over damage to satanic temple display in Iowa. I reported on this. Interesting case when you look at the rights that are involved and maybe not involved. A man who was admitted to damaging a controversial satanic temple holiday display in Iowa capital is now facing a serious hate crime charge. Hate crime. Remember that? Remember that undefined thing? And then we're going to get to the end of this. I'm going to ask a question or make an observation, I think. Michael Cassidy, 35, a Christian in any other report here, an ex-Navy pilot who lost a race for the Mississippi legislature last year, was motivated by the victim's religion, prosecutors say. On Tuesday, he was charged with third-degree criminal mischief, which I saw in a report elsewhere was a felony, folks, in violation of individual rights and hate crime, again, that he supposedly committed. Again, this felony is pretty serious because now it goes after your right to bear arms. Remember that part and how they start doing this. And other things that a felon is not able to do once you're convicted over a word that's actually not definable. Unless you can read someone's mind. Again, intent is what you're going to be looking for, but you can't get it. Not with this. Mr. Cassidy has already raised $110,000 for his legal defense. Well, I hope that's enough. against the state. In a state of Polk County, prosecutor's office said that Mr. Cassidy dismantled the Baphomet altar on 14 December and destroyed the headpiece. Quote, in addition, evidence shows the defendant made statements to law enforcement to the public indicating that he destroyed the property because of the victim's religion. Cassidy had stated, quote, I saw this blasphemous statue and was outraged. Mr. Cassidy said, my conscience is held captive to the word of God, not to bureaucratic decree, and so I acted. I want to ask the question, then, how is this not a crime of passion of the Christ? Someone else being economically and politically punished for being right here. Welcome to the machine. Roger Waters faces axe by record label over defiant Israel stance. Pink Floyd co-founder is no stranger to controversy over his outspoken stance in Western imperialism and his comments accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza, and the remarks at the UN saying that the Russia's military operation in Ukraine was not unprovoked, sparking fury among Western governments and the Western news media. Bartelsmann Music Group, BMG, is reportedly planning to axe his 2016 publishing deal with the 80-year-old rock legend Roger Waters over his inflammatory comments on the crisis in Israel and Ukraine and his outspoken criticism of the United States. Understand this is, they consider hate speech because someone's got their feelings hurt, I suppose. Waters mentioned being fired by BMG in an interview, citing pressure from Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League pro-Israeli lobbying group, over his outspoken position on the conflict in Gaza. Jonathan Defamation League Greenblatt, one Zionist, one word, one life put in hardship without lawful cause or lawful due process here. Understand the power here. Defamation League Greenblatt needs to go to a little South China Sea rock outcropping with the rest of his soul. How someone has this kind of power to destroy lives on his word, I don't even understand in this world at this point. I know, how did they get there? How people didn't keep their own, but this is what starts to happen. You start leaving these dangling chads, someone else's beliefs against us, give them power. This is what they can do to people. Is this the type of civil rights my listener expects? How about the civil liberties? To be punished equally for speaking out about genocidal tyranny? Yeah. Who rules on that? Apparently, Defamation Greenblatt does. And where can you find these civil rights? For those of you that have never heard this before, maybe even not gotten read yet, you should go read 42 U.S.C. 1981. Roger Waters is essentially getting all the civil rights. He's a foreigner to the United States, but he's getting all the civil rights he can enjoy. Yeah, foreigners even enjoy civil rights because they're subject to the United States. And look around. Very few are not subject. And the connection here would be that fiat system, that fiat currency system. And, well, extra, even if they aren't, they're made subject. Now we go to Russia. Made subject. And my suggestion to you has always been behind what you said, don't be a subject. You have to figure that status out, and you have to figure out how to be, not just say you're not the status of the subject, how you're somewhere else and can't be, is what you have to say, somewhere else and can't be subject. And that's where I told you the mining law and land disposal law gave me an insight. If it didn't give me an answer, it gave me an insight. And it's been holding up pretty well. Ironically here, we thought it was a separation between the king and the United States in the American Revolution. Ironically, Waters is the king's subject. And so we see the king doesn't even have to get his hands dirty giving Roger Waters all his extorted civil rights equally if you're not of the chosen. And speaking of extortions of every kind, the king's government stupidity spitting into a hurricane or a hemicane if you're needy, after agreeing to destroy his carbon-based subjects through the great Kobe swindle, contrary to his local communicable disease law. You get that, folks? The king did that, too. I hope people figure this out. I don't know what it's going to take. We're starting to feel the rumbles, but I hope it gets worse. But now we see the economic destruction based on the Kobe swindle is everywhere with the brewery bankruptcies. They first came for your pints. Now, folks, UK fish and chips at risk as Russia may end fishing deal. Well, I thought the fish was Britain. But anyway, your Russia media has suggested that the Moscow may pull out from a fishing treaty with the United Kingdom that allowed British trawlers to fish in the Barents Sea off the coast of Russia Kola Peninsula. I guess that's going to be not a pint, but a cola. The agreement has signed between London and Moscow in 1956 gave rights to the British vessels fishing vast quantities of cod and haddock in the waters, with 566,784 tons of cod being caught only during the last year. Much of this fish reportedly went towards making one of Britain's iconic dishes, fish and chips. However, the termination of the deal may spark shortages at British chippies. Following the escalation of the Ukrainian conflict in February 2022, the UK, along with the United States and many EU states, attempted to cripple Russia's economy through economic sanctions and the seizure of Russia's assets abroad. Moscow's move to cancel the fishing agreement would come as the UK removed Russia's most favored nation trading status last year. I saw that and I went, wow, folks. They removed the most favored nation trading status. That is big. Who said there's a proxy war in Ukraine? That's nonsense. Removing favored nation status is a direct attack. As I've been saying and telling you. In this sort of attack, the producer wins. That's Russia. He's got the fields. You got to go there. Self-pick, then you got to go to his fields. And the consumer enjoys a healthy helping of austerity in this, if that much. The people will be left with synthetic cultured fish-shaped protein substance and a side order of eat the bugs without a pint to wash it down here. Numbers, folks, yum. Can you hear it? Can you see it? Can you smell it? Can you taste it? Well, you're not going to smell the fish unless they put that smell inside the synthetic fish that they've been promoting people to eat. They've legalized eating crickets in Europe, right? Here, speaking of spitting into the hurricane and himicanes, if in your needy here. No, don't throw stones if in you live in glass houses either. It really is a mess. Fannie Willis accusations play into Trump's hand, hearing set for February. Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District of Court in Atlanta, Georgia, is embroiled in alleged controversy. Willis has taken tasked with the prosecuting former President Donald Trump over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia. She is now facing accusations of engaging in an improper relationship with her lead prosecutor and in mishandling public money. Again, no trust, no confidence, nothing in this system. It's gone. This is the ones they catch. Quote, it's really a mess, but it's amazing, said journalist Daniel Lazar of the recent allegations. I mean, it's playing right into Trump's hands. Trump is very lucky in his choices of enemies, and Fannie Willis is just the ideal from this point of view. It just shows the incredible corruption at the heart of the democratic judicial regime. It's amazing. Quote, we should wait until the process works itself out. No question about it, said Lazar, who pointed out that the allegations against Willis have not yet been proven to be true. But the facts seem to be pretty clear. I mean, they apparently are in a relationship. They were taking vacations together. She gave him the lucrative job, fed him thousands of dollars, which they then used to take vacations together. So essentially, what they're doing is tapping into public funds for their own private entertainment. This is corrupt. It's absolutely corrupt, he added. Can I interject? That sounds a lot like Ukraine. Back to this story. Ben Zinovich stated, well, I think it's very possible they'll wind up taking a case away from Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, Wade, and give it to somebody else. And the case will then go forward. But it'll be much delayed. I presume it won't be heard until next year after the election. So it was a kind of been canceled. But it just goes to show how the Democrats put it all on Trump, but they never considered their own role in the debacle. And it's a debacle, by the way. Having a second Trump term will be extraordinarily destructive, said Lazar, who said the path to a second Trump presidency is being made possible by the Democrats. But listen to that point. They never considered their own role. That's Greta's. That's the sustainability crowd. They never consider their own role. Davos, taking jet if carbon was something, if greenhouse gases was something, they are not part of that problem. You are. And you don't underestimate when I say psychopaths that I mean it. This article goes on, quote, and it exposes the Democrats as corrupt, which is what Trump has been saying all along, he added. So it's completely self-destructive and completely reactionary, too. It further undermines democracy. And I just look at this and say, are we witnessing another Teflon Don? But the judiciary, folks, is still having the mere appearance of impropriety in the very least. The corruption is at the heart of the democratic judicial regime, he says, not different than what I've said, isn't about a party, but about a uniparty occupiers. Don't ever forget that. Both parties put these people in place and they continue them. There's a prosecution that's supposed to go on. They're supposed to be checking and being jealously guarding these branches. Nobody is. And the government instrumentalities are completely self-destructive and completely reactionary, too. Listen to the words in this article. I'm just restating. I've been saying them before. This sounds consistent with the bass-ackwards thinking of the King Brit government, the EU, NATO, and the West, doesn't it? You can just plug those into this story. Yeah, it's kind of like that. In high places, laid low, if we would just set up and do it. I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about exposing the methods of corruption that have been before us. We've been all sleepy, gazing into the stars or something, and this has been going on. Finally coming to the front. It's our time, folks. Continuing with the mess that surrounds Trump on all this. And what a whirlwind this guy is, whether I would like him or not, or our practice to try and help, and he denied us, didn't even get us the go-to-hell letter. Four letters to the White House now by our organization, Jefferson Money District, would not respond. What was that? We're talking production. We're talking about the foundation of the country that's in such need right now all over the world that he was not interested, even though he'll go and support the Virginia miner, coal miners, which he should support. He might support the transportation of petroleum oil products and oils. That's fine. But those were a couple planned places to show some people that maybe he cared. But I don't think he did. And then he put the swamp up around his neck. But he actually didn't get a whole lot done. And then he brings out the COVID swindle at warp speed. Globally, no. You don't think he talked and everyone listened? Yeah. Trump wanted RFK Jr. as a running mate. The former president's preliminary overtures were rebuffed by Kennedy, the report says. Just to point out the underlying political aspirations of the Republican Party of today is the Democratic Party of the 60s. For those of you keeping track, the Democratic Party end of the tablecloth has already slipped over the edge into the stinking abyss, and the Republicans will follow shortly thereafter. This is how this is going. Again, it's a uniparty. It sits on the same, it's built, made from the same whole cloth, through over the table, and off it goes. And the people of America are attached to that. But we're not. And that's the big secret. We just have to remember we're not part of the table setting. We're the foundation. And we're going to have to protect that. And the people in Europe, interestingly, are going to be our example, but I suspect if America gets involved to do that, we will show the world how it's done. And I think we can only do that because of the type of property disposal laws that we have. If people ever get to that, we're so far from all that, I don't know. I hope we get there. I hope we get there really quickly. Taking out the political opposition here here we're seeing a model and a global form and function. The model for Trump's fate. And yes, I mean it in a couple of senses. How punny is this? Ex-Pakistan PM Khan gets 14-year prison sentence on corruption reports. Former Pakistani Prime Minister and Chairman of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf opposition party, Imran Khan, and his wife, Busha Bibi, have been sentenced to 14 years behind bars in a corruption case related to the sale of valuables stored in the state treasury at Toshakhana, GEO and Pakistani TV channel has reported. Both were also banned from holding any public office for 10 years and given a fine of 787 million rupees, which is about $2.8 million each. On Tuesday, Khan and his party vice chairman, Shah Mahmood Quraish, were sentenced to 10 years behind bars in a separate case for violating the Official Secrets Act. Just kind of adjust the words in there and look at what they did to Trump, what they've been doing to Trump. Is this the Khan model? They con everybody to believe in something? I don't know. I think we're seeing the model, and I think I've talked about this before. I just want to point out this guy got taken out, and then gets taken out of the, as being a contender. Let me hit back at the case. I'm not quite sure which case it is now. I'm a little confused on all the cases that Trump is fighting. One of them, and I think it was the one that Fannie Willis might be in, was just removed from the calendar. So that judge, based on an appeal, is going to stall that case out. It's not even on the schedule now. So when the people in that report were saying this may be the end of that case, at least for a while, they were true. It's coming through that way. And before I go on, I forgot to do the last one last week. This is a BTWRLM 562. For those of you coming in a little bit late, want to know what broadcast this is, to learn where I'm speaking, go to the content maybe, and pick up the broadcast to learn a little bit more. That'll be there. I'll try to remember the one at the end. I don't get there because I don't have a reference for it at the end, and I get lost in trying to get done at the end in time, and so it's just too much going on all at once for my little bitty pea brain to keep up with, and I apologize. I do try to do that, but it just doesn't happen. But another mess here for the Trump with surrounding Trump, this whirlwind. Trump has said he'd close the borders and deport all the illegals. The border matter is being used to set up the red-blue spring color revolution, as I talked about it last week. You notice that Trump is taking the one side immediately. That was a really smart move politically. This is not really solving anything, but that's what they're doing politically. And so they gain their cheerleaders on either side. When we look at the story, though, down there, it's kind of interesting that the razor wire is going up in a very small space. The rest of it's wide open, and people are walking in. So, like I said, I don't trust any of this. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I'm cautious for us as people. We might want to do something. We can use this as a springboard to start moving in what we need to do, but be very careful to be lulled into it's the thing the government's doing for us, because that usually doesn't ever happen. And so to continue a little bit from last week, to an interview story that I found on that was done with ex-Pentagon analyst Maalouf, Michael Maalouf. This is the most I think I've ever disagreed with Mr. Maalouf on his interviews, but even so, and we got to kind of look, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on all this stuff. He points out some very important things I believe most everybody can agree with. With my disagreements, though, brings up an idea. Does anyone really retire from the Pentagon? And how would we know when we continue to hear the syncopated drumbeat for civil war? This is what Mr. Maalouf does on this. And so while I follow him and I've been referring to his work, this one kind of caught me a little bit. Again, I'm not trusting a lot of this. This also might defeat us in a way we think the government has helped us. We think that these leaders, there's a hook on the end of that leader usually. Be careful on this. This is what my hesitation is. And I think they're playing people. And this kind of speaks to that. But I'll go through this a little bit because he does make some good points. Remember, there's a lot of truth sometimes to get something that's not a truth in and to get persuasion to happen and perception to happen in the right direction. The specter of civil war is why this caught my mind and what he's talking about. Biden's border policy could lead to huge, huge explosion, ex-Pentagon analyst. Now, my thought is we don't talk about that huge explosion. We talk about the condition, and we look for, as the people, given it's a problem, we talk about what we need to do about it, not let someone else do it for us. Quote, it's like our old Civil War back in the 19th century, brothers against each other taking sides. That's basically how that worked out to what we're hoping to avoid that again. But the potential is there, and hopefully cooler heads can manage, the expert said, adding that he hopes that the situation would be solved within the court system. So this is one of those instances. For instance, I agree with the first sentence, brothers against each other, like the Civil War, and I'd add the rhetorical question, like in Ukraine, and I'll add that onto this question here, how they play this. But if so, this looks like a plan then, because why we the people need to avoid it. I don't agree that there is hope in the courts, that the courts can resolve this, because the highest court in the land washed its hands of this constitutional crisis. And it's more nuanced. Unless this is going to be more nuanced in the future, better packaged for the answer that they want. I don't think the courts can help any of this. That means that there's no judicial remedy here. Any answer from the courts now is a capitulation to the side that the Bar-S members think will best mitigate the problem towards the intended outcome. It's completely manipulated then, if this guy believes that. And I don't know why he would say the courts are going to handle it when the courts already just tossed the hot potato somewhere else. Even if taking back here the authorization, some state intervention removing the peaceful remedy in the Civil War post-founding father era of Lincolnized more perfect union, that's the layers of diffuse bureaucracy and feckless judicial process and procedures given the color of justice, but the power with the removal of the judicial remedy into the hands of the oppressed were caused by dereliction. And that's what we have to focus on. Why we have to move is because they were derelict. This is not to the courts. The courts is a judicial function. It's like the people are the fifth remedy. They're their own remedy. They're actually prior to government. So when the courts don't give us the remedy, there's supposed to always be a remedy. In fact, I've read you, I think it was Kansas, Colorado. It says right in there, the Supreme Court says, the courts are the remedy. And when you don't, since the Civil War, the courts are the remedy. And when you don't have it, you have to take matters in your own hands, but you have to have a foundation for it. So Maloof may hope for judicial relief, but the highest court in the occupied nation is missing in action, having abandoned its post. But Maloof does identify the important situational awareness, one situation in particular that causes my greatest hesitation against going into armed conflict. The question, he said, the question will be the issue of training and discipline. It's right in the article. While outlining the conditions here, which I think is a good starting point for orientation for us, don't underestimate the federal military has been training for urban welfare in this as well. And Israeli genocide going on is a hint. Remember, Israel has been training. We got all the reports. They've been training even the cops in the United States. And Maloof goes on and points out, meanwhile, Democrats appear to be unwilling to back down. They're calling for Biden to federalize the Texas National Guard, thus upending the state's Operation Lone Star. Quote, he says, you would have a confrontation, the former Pentagon analyst warned. There would be no question about confrontation. There that are some other states that are bringing their National Guards, their state National Guards, to Texas. Montana has done it. Arizona has done it. The federal government here would have to federalize all of them. Is there the money for it, he asked? Would you have to pay for these reservists because it's a recall to active duty to the federal government? So right now that's not in the budget, he says. But remember, we're watching the government move, call in reservists to go get them out of the country right now, as I told you what might happen, and a potential danger if this is something set up against the people, get their consent somehow by thinking that something's going on when it really isn't. So if the budget is a limit anymore, he goes on to say, remember, it's complete fraud on the budget, but anyone here has to bear in mind that Texas has forces to protect itself even without government assistance, according to Maloof. Texas governor also has Texas police, and there are also other types of local forces scattered around the country that are not subject to federal recall that can be utilized from these other 25 states. He brings up a very interesting observation here. that the government, the federal government, could buy off, pay for the what the federal law requires the state to give up. But there are others, and so this is back to the, if we're going to wait for the cops, and this is that serious. I don't know if he's correct in this. We can wait around, or do we? And I'm not saying that we just go to arms. I mean, this is a very serious condition, but these are situational conditions that need to be observed. Parts of my thoughts from last week, or in this article partly, what he's talking about. So he says it hasn't been mentioned yet, but a number of these states have militias, people who are quiet organizations that conceivably could offer their services to the state of Texas and be deputized by the state of Texas. And I've heard from people calling about that, but I've talked to you about this as well. Moving into this article, they would not be subject to any recall by the federal government, but the question will be the issuing of training and discipline. So that would be an additional factor which probably could be dealt with if this came down to a very serious confrontation. Maloof drew attention to the fact that despite the United States Supreme Court's recent ruling concerning the wire barriers at the border, the Border Patrol, which is a federal agency, has not moved to demolish the barrier so far. The crux of the matter is that the Border Patrol does not have to have the confrontation with the state officials, many of whom probably live next to door to them and work closely with them all the time. So as I've said earlier, analyst Maloof identifies it also, the Supreme Court's declining to peacefully stop an invasion, but both sides see no actual authority in the Supreme Court. This condition may be the larger constitutional crisis in this, and then cooler heads prevailing at the border, if we look at some of the situational dynamics. And I'm hoping that the people take this as an opportunity to mutually work together to right the severely damaged and heavily listing ship of state here, both federal and state. This issue could be the springboard, as I said, the occupiers absolutely dread, the ouster by the people pursuant to their organic and internationally recognized right of lawful power to alter and abolish the maladministration of government, whether or not by stealthy usurpation of you occupying forces, the lawful ouster of which may or may not need to be by use or of the arms and reserved to the people for the very purpose. Right? So we don't have to go there, and if these organizations, these government organizations, aren't going there either. One more thing here Maloof observes for us, not for him, a problem though, that the governors need to deputize any militias. If my listener can see the problem here, in particular where the government of the country, such as Texas, in the organic sense, goes rogue, how are we going to get deputized to protect ourselves? I'm not so sure. Again, this is where I get back to started thinking, is this guy really not a former analyst? What's his word saying? What's he setting up here? So this is kind of what got my mind, where he said, and I hope you noticed where he said this, militias, people who are quiet organizations that conceivably could offer their services to the state of Texas and be deputized by the state. And so I don't agree with Maloof here, the needing to deputization of militias for legitimacy. But my general disagreement is not the issue here yet, so all that aside, I want my listener to hear this consideration, because the requirement of oppressor recognition of militias has confused and defeated the attempt of any militia recently from acting under the general label of extremist by both federal and faithful lapdog federalized states, whether or not actually warranted, which is another problem. So I'll leave further consideration of this issue for another time. It's pretty deep, I guess I could say. There's a lot to consider. We can use the situation, though, and these insights to begin to come to terms with our occupier, that our occupier here means us harm. They do so under the color of right, and it takes mutual action to oust it. You're watching that action in Europe right now. They're doing it in a different way. They don't necessarily have the type of power that we really have here in the United States. And I don't hear many people really rely on it. And we need to start coming to terms with this. We need to start looking at the government is not with us. And there's lots of strategies and tactics to keep us off balance because officials' lies aren't what they used to be. this is maybe where I kind of come through. We were lied to before, but it seemed okay. It seemed like that they plausibly could do stuff. But now the lies are just covering over immense crimes. And this article goes on to explain a bit of this. The Bushies told us that we had to invade Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden and then go into Iraq because Saddam Hussein's the WMDs. As the Pentagon knew, bin Laden was already in Pakistan and Hans Blix. Interesting, that's the con, right? In Pakistan. So you see what's going on in Pakistan here. Bin Laden was already in Pakistan and Hans Blix and Scott Ritter told us there was no evidence Saddam has prescribed weapons. Well, you got to listen a little bit about Scott Ritter. He may not be the guy you think, or he's being promoted as, even as always interviewed by RT. But anyway, this story here. They were lies, he says, this author. But they were plausible lies. Theoretically, UBL might have snuck into Afghanistan. Saddam might have acquired UMDs. Those things could have been true. Now they're giving us implausible lies. Not only are there lies, well, lies, they say things that are untrue and can't possibly be true, and that no one knew, no one, no matter how stupid or uninformed, could believe it. Now, this last part, no matter how stupid or uninformed, pushes the envelope out quite a bit, doesn't it? That's a special class of clueless, I occasionally mention, the cluelessness that is not crickets but acting out. That's the most dangerous sort of creature. As I was reading through this, is what goes through my mind. It's funny how we all take our little view, even though I'm trying to show you there's a view to take, and we've got to be kind of fluid with it. This is one of those fluid parts for me. We've been talking about these crickets, you know, actionless. But this article is highlighting one that looks like clueless activity. Now, I hadn't thought more all these years to consider this clueless would be active at all. Like a certain type of cognitive blindness, they would just drone on. Oblivious. That's what I was looking at before. And though I hadn't considered participatory cognitive blindness, cluelessness, we saw a form of this acting out in the masses recently, and as astoundingly, at least to me, ongoing. The no matter how stupid or uninformed, intentionally no less, telling themselves lies in the great Covey swindle. So this is, for me, an interesting insight and a new way to look at how I was looking at things. This is a lot more work. This is a worse condition, actually. The clueless that won't act, they're not doing anything, but we have these that are wanting to act. They want to act out. And that sort of acting out is a bit terrifying in a special sort of way. This speaks to me as well as I've been contemplating the various responses to the Civil War 2.0 promo, as we've been hearing, or a continuing concern which punctuated by a recent response I got through ex-Twitter. It was roughly this, responding to Biden's lie, that, quote, last night, 3 U.S. service members were killed and many wounded during an unmanned aerial drone attack on our forces stationed in northeast Jordan near the Syrian border, which was answered in ex-Twitter by someone saying, Genocide Joe is lying. U.S. soldiers were attacked in an illegal U.S. Al-Tanf base in Syria, not Jordan. And why is he lying? Because U.S. soldiers have no legal basis to be occupying Syria, a sovereign nation. And under UN Article 51, it can be attacked legally. Of which I added my comment to that as applicable to the belligerent occupier in Palestine, which was responded to by this statement. Yeah, kick Hamas out. At best, this is clueless, folks. But they live, folks. This is the problem. And there's no amount of help one can provide to them because of the condition, no matter how stupid or uninformed, and unintentionally so, no less. On the other hand, this respondent to my comment is in the mass entertainment field by his profile. The statement, yeah, kick Hamas out, would be a mass propaganda response, wouldn't it? Anybody who knows this knows that I was not speaking about Hamas. Maybe I should watch more movies. The last one I remember watching about something like this was the Night of the Living Dead, which actually should have given me the heads up. Applied to the election, any populist victory for Trump is a perceptual trap, and any loss is a quickening a destruction, especially considering the Trump-Kennedy ticket promo, despite Kennedy's rebuff, both Democrats at one time, now hidden, proving what my JMD colleagues and I figured being the time in politics where the Democratic Party has slipped into the rule of by tyranny, likely the equivalent to the international imposed rule-based orders, the Republican Party assuming the role of the Democratic Party held in the 60s, both parties, all of it, attached to the civilizational tablecloth, slipping inexorably over the edge of the Platonian socio-political cycle table into the stinking abyss I talked about, and the dependence back to bondage that the people go into when they don't respond correctly. This Platonian political cycle, among others similarly proposed for my well-read listeners, is only one. There's many others. They all have the similar orientation and consequence going through. This author concludes, as I have observed for years in disappointment relative to the corruption generally, having said so on many more occasions than I can count, they're not even trying anymore, he writes. How many times have I said that? I mean, off the broadcast. There is here no status quo escape for we the people anymore, anywhere, folks. Why the people have to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, different than in the past. My concern about a militia that has to be deputized. Now, you'll get a link to this guy that responds to my thing, my ex-Twitter, and responding to someone pointing out that soldiers that are in countries that are there illegal don't have the right of self-defense, that they can be addressed lawfully by other countries, and they don't have the right to go attack. That we are is another travesty. I just heard that the United States is now responding. We might get to that over there. And again, the long distance travel to go bomb a bunch of stuff that I understood was all evacuated before it got there. So more games by a nation that shouldn't be where it's at, and the world looks on and allows it. And it's simply the simplifying a method that's going on and protecting the mouse that's scaring the world, essentially. Here, moving into and on with this idea of drones and maybe zombie apocalypse type people that are dangerous. Nobody will be able to lie after people get their Neuralink implant, except maybe the politicians. They'll be programmed with the privilege to misinformation and for national security here, at least. These folks that will jump into these conversations, they only jumped in once, gives us the wrong answer, totally devoid of knowledge, totally devoid of application, and yet they live. They're among us, and they very well may be part of that entertainment propaganda site. This may be taken, as we read, Musk says his startup Neuralink has implanted first brain chip in a human. And remember, they come by the fuzz, warm and fuzzies. They're going to help people move their limbs again. Who can control them through this chip. The short-term goal of the company, let's remember that, the short-term goal for this company is to build a generalized brain interface and restore autonomy to those with debilitating neurological conditions and unmet medical needs. And I read that, I'm thinking, jab harm. You get a bunch of people with jab harm, they're going to need Neuralink, aren't they? Or somebody's analog. Quote, then, really, the long-term goal is to have this available for billions of people and unlock human potential and go beyond our biological capabilities, said DJ CO, the co-founder of Neuralink. But here, folks, don't walk by any microwaves when you got this thing, or maybe the millimeter wave interrogators that the TSA is going to be using all over everywhere eventually, or the up-and-coming disease XGX from 5G. Let's be careful about all that with this. The company has killed about 1,500 animals as a result. Remember, humans are animals. We'll get to that in a second, I think. The medical device company fell under federal investigation for potential animal welfare violations amid complaints that animal testing was being rushed and that animals were needlessly suffering and dying as a result, according to the report from December 2022. I find it interesting no one's worried about the animals needlessly suffering in Gaza. And is the Zionists call the people, the Palestinians, those animals. Moving to this article here, the care that everyone wants to give. Current and former Neuralink employees claim that a number of animal deaths was higher than is typical for medical research due to Musk's demands to speed up the process. According to the report, he sent a staffers a news article which claimed Swiss researchers were able to help a paralyzed man walk again with the aid of an electrical implant. Quote, "We could enable people to use their hands and walk again in daily life, Musk wrote in an email in 2022 to staff. "In general, we are simply not moving fast enough. It is driving me nuts." And I want to remind my listener here, he's a humanist with genocidal, what he recently described as Jewish aspirations. See, they or their hope and change agents consider mankind humans, and anyone doing the study knows humans means a monster without inheritable blood. In other words, you have no property in liking. In fact, you don't even know about not liking it. Well, how many human sacrifices will he cause? Already evidenced in the Tesla car accidents. What else is he overlooking in his haste to be the everything, the all-thing app, folks, in your life? And speaking to privileged action, once you get your Neuralink, do you think Neuralink will be connected to your digital ID and get you to run to the nearest jail for arrest when your thought crimes are just improper and someone hacks your neural network through your digital gulag ID that's vulnerable now to cause you those thoughts? Kind of like planting porn on your computer? That might be considered beyond our biological capabilities, right, Elon? As we read, the digital ID rollout is becoming a hacker's dream. Governments and corporations around the world are showing great enthusiasm in either already implementing or planning to implement some form of digital ID. As it turns out, ironically, these efforts are presented to citizens are not as making their lives easier through convenience, but also making sure their personal data contained within these digital IDs is safer in a world that's teeming with malicious actors. Safe and effective, folks. Safe and effective. Trust us. Opponents have been warning about serious privacy implications, but also argue against the claim that data security actually gets improved. You've been hearing this just incessantly behind the woodshed. It's just the nature of the beast there. And it's more. It would appear here that they are right, at least according to the report of the cybersecurity firm issued after the hacker attacks happening around the Christmas holiday, something that's been now dubbed Leaksmas. Leaksmas. Interesting. How cute. Not only governments, but hackers as well love digital IDs and huge amounts of personal information all neatly gathered in one place, and judging by what's been happening recently in many instances, sitting there pretty much easily available to them. In numbers, a staggering 50 million records containing personally identifiable information have surfaced on the dark web. The reason so many stolen data sets have been made made it to the black market all at once appear to be technicalities related to the time window during which most of it will be sellable. According to the reports, it is hard to overestimate how devastating this event could be if the DNIs end up in the wrong hands. It is the sole ID document recognized by authorities in Peru for a range of things fundamental to people's everyday life: judicial, administrative, commercial, and civil transactions. As one article put it, your civil rights transactions, those extortions of every kind. I've been warning about this for a long time. It's making the news. And heed this well, folks. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a reality, what's going on. And here we go, moving on to while the Jewish aspiration humanist Elon Musk is not punished, so long as he bides the Zionist Federation, others are being punished for being right. And I bring that up, if you looked at the news, Elon Musk was guided through Auschwitz, and that's just almost like a religious rite there. And then he come back out and said he had Jewish aspirations. I don't know about this guy, but I know what I do know is he is a humanist. For all the things he does, it's cool. I'm not so sure about him, what he does. And I don't his haste again is a real problem. And not that you shouldn't push forward, but at some point, where is your morality? Where is your ethics? We can hear the words, but what is your deed? The deed here, her Hungary being punished for being right as EUI's sabotage over blocked Ukrainian aid. Dr. George Zamuli, a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute and the author of Bombs for Peace, NATO's Humanitarian War on Yugoslavia, told Sputnik that the Hungary is being punished for being correct about the conflict in Ukraine. Again, hate crimes, folks. These are going through this thought crime that are these things that you think that are contrary to the they's outcomes is going to be crime. We're watching it play out now before this becomes something that's maybe even integrated in you. And remember, by billions, billions will be neural linked or hunted down, I suppose. But no one ever gets punished for being wrong. You only get punished for being right, Zamuli explained, noting that Hungary's position on Ukraine, quote, has been nothing if not consistent from the beginning. The focus of the drama is a $50 billion euro funding package intended to prop up the Kiev regime from 2027, in which Orban blocked. Over 100 of the European Parliament members signed onto a letter urging the pressure to be placed on Hungary. Let me say this, $50 billion, well, it reminds me, that's the $50 billion going to Ukraine is part of why the people, the farmers and the truckers, and the producers in Europe are fighting, are stopping, are resisting, because that money is going to Ukraine instead of stopping the nonsense against them. Well, Zamuli says the EU certainly has the ability to significantly harm Hungary's economy. That has been blunted somewhat by actions Orban has already taken. And this harkens over to, did China look ahead? Were they forward-thinking? Did Russia look ahead as this thing all came down? And I've been telling you they did, and you're watching why. I came out right away and told you what the sanctions were relative to Ukraine. Was the United States spitting into a hurricane. It was going to slap them right back in the face, and you watch how it all happened. Orban's not been quite on board of that, and he has his reasons. But we'll read here, Orban has managed to make the Hungarian economy much less dependent on others, particularly Europe. For instance, he brought much of the Hungarian finance under his own personal control. Therefore, Europeans are not really able to bring the Hungarian financial markets into turmoil. He's made himself much more available for investment from China, from Russia, from other parts of the world. So he's not so dependent on investment from Europe. So Russia wasn't the only one looking ahead. He couldn't have done this overnight. So this is very insightful people we're looking at in the news, whether I totally agree with them or they're totally on the right side or not, or they're just using it as politics and opportunity for themselves. I'm not talking about all that. But the international lessons for us appear to be, don't subject oneself in any way to a monopoly power, in particular a monetary or fiscal power that can try to attack your economy. Now, I'm speaking to we the people. We didn't throw off the fiat occupation as we were required to. Have the domestic affairs of the people being flagrantly interfered with by the U.S. regime, which supplanted the democratically elected government in Ukraine. The border convoy, any clue? Unprecedented, unpayable, odious debt, any clue? Endless wars and rumors of wars, any clue? How about the election coup? To name a few of very many as we can go through. In fact, as I'm thinking about this, isn't there a book published to explain this? I think there is, called Coup. Contact Gary L. as you can find him. Get over there at Suspect Sky. I think they have a book they can offer you to buy if you're interested in a copy. I think that's over there. I haven't looked too close at it or about it. But people write about things, and they're available to us if we'll just inform ourselves. The monopoly interference in domestic affairs is what we're talking about here, but we have to look over there. A lot of people don't want to listen to me because we're not talking about over here in the United States. But it's because the examples are much better over there about what's happening to us here, because most people only respond to the news of what they hear. And I want to show us that there's a methodology behind it, and we need to get around and watch that, understand that, and then there's a way to get and stop it. Either avoid it or stop it. And if you think making himself much more available for investment from China, from Russia, means Orban is a good guy, he's the head of a government. As we can read, Russia to expand its surveillance network, plans to tap into private surveillance networks, roll out facial recognition. Has Russia made itself independent? It's not of the sustainable future that they want. None of these governments are. There's no government that seems to step outside of this future condition. It's because governments are into killing them, their people, other people, controlling their people. That's what it's about. The United States was the closest they could be, but they didn't replace the ruling class every 20 years like we were told. I've been telling you and warning you about Russia. Oh, they're doing some really fantastic things. They were forward-looking, but they're so far forward-looking. If you don't understand what they're saying relative to BRICS and what's going on, you don't really understand what they've prepared and how they've embraced digital and that they focused in on all that, you don't realize that they're actually implementing the UN sustainability goals. And they keep saying the UN is the focus. Russia is advancing towards a China-like extensive surveillance system. The PERM region is the first to mandate the private video camera owners must integrate their devices into regional surveillance network and practice poised to be replicated nationwide. In the United States, they just did it through a private ring cameras, didn't they, and others. But we also read that there are also some municipalities are going to businesses to get their cameras. So Russia is going to make it an integrated thing. This move aligns the President Vladimir Putin's martial law declaration in Ukraine's occupied territories in October 2022, granting regional governors augmented powers to ensure security of their areas. Now, this all comes as a plausible, good reason, but that's not what its ultimate goal is. That's not the outcome that they're pushing for. Russia's citizens monitoring has intensified since the Ukraine invasion. Authorities are increasingly scrutinizing social media and employing a surveillance camera to track both activist citizens. Moscow recently trialed a facial recognition traffic lights. Alex Bykov, head of Moscow's State Traffic Safety Inspectorate, has even suggested that the providing biometric data should be obligatory. Facial recognition is a critical element in Russia's surveillance strategy. It has been used for detaining opposition activists and identifying individuals who ignored military draft summons. I just want to put an interjects in the United States, if they go to a draft, this digital ID and all this stuff comes to bear all of a sudden. That's just the tool they have at their hands. Sergei Sukhov, CEO of NTech Lab, reports that facial recognition is operational in 62 regions, contributing to the Ministry of Digital Development's Digital Economy Project, aiming to compile a comprehensive profile of citizens' activities. The digital economy is how inexpensive it is to get information on people and get them to do what they're told. And if you get a Neuralink by the billions, you're going to be told to walk to your nearest naval and army recruiter when they need conscripts. Think about that one. That's going to be a biological difference, isn't it? Current private cameras are inaccessible to regional authorities, and only half of the 1.2 million street cameras are state-owned, as reported by the Digital Development Department in November 2023. The major goal is to centralize street surveillance, with private cameras playing a significant role. So be careful of who we talk about, the good guys. I'm talking about what people do in the world, the rulers, the people that are head of governments, that what they're doing that is good, not that they may necessarily be good in a function of a government. And if you think this fascist, communist, Soviet government has to make its surveillance official, we look back to the United States, the beacon of freedom. NSA confirms purchasing data on American citizens' internet behavior, circumventing the need for warrants. And I want to call it quickly. I've had a couple people communicate, and these stories are a lot. I'm only saying one. I get dozens. I found dozens over many, many, many months, maybe even a year. It's been so long where we're told over and over the governments are going to the third parties, like I told you, to get their information without a warrant. They can circumvent these warrants. Again, they make stuff up and can subvert the warrant system, the requirements for probable cause, and they can make you live in a 2-minute city in just seconds, just with this request. We're all focused on a 15-minute city that's set up for us. No, these are digital gulags that are set up. National Security Agency has had to reveal, they're not even, again, like the CDC won't send out the message, doesn't send the memo, you're in trouble. We could be in trouble if you take a certain path. Oh, no, it'll counter the organized criminal syndicate that they're profiting from. But in response to senators' questions, they had to reveal that it is, as one report put it, sidestepping obtaining warrants first before it buys people's information put on sale by data brokers. This came to light in an exchange of letters between Senator Ron Wyden and several top security officials. Talked about this guy, the senator, don't know about him. He's not a good guy in other areas. But, again, it's coming out. I've been reporting about this for a long, long time. It's out now. They were forced to say it. Someone had to force them. You have to be there to force them. You got to take the action that will tell us that we're underneath the surveillance. They get information as they can find it. They're pretty sly about how they did it. They can do it this way. The U.S. Navy bought surveillance data through ad tech company owned by military contractor, which harvests location data from smartphones. 404 Media writes that the public records it has seen shown that the Navy was able to use software too called Sierra Nevada N-Context Veneer that the U.S. Department of Defense Pentagon uses for its surveillance operations around the world. N-Context, supposedly in the ad tech marketing business, is behind developing that tool. However, the publicly made available documents do not detail the kind of data the company had at its disposal that was for sale. Or a company that claims that it actually is listening to your phone and smart speakers to target ads at you. Quote, what would it mean for a business if you could target potential clients who are actively discussing their need for your services in their day-to-day conversations? No, it's not a Black Mirror episode. It's voice data, and CMG has the capabilities to use it for your business advantage. Was a promo. The Cox Media Group here, marketing team, claims it has the capability to listen to ambient conversations of consumers through embedded microphones in smartphones, smart TVs, and other devices to gather data and use it to target ads, according to the review of CMG Marketing, materials by 404 Media, and details from a pitch given to an outside marketing professional called Active Listening. It was written by Cox Marketing Group. The news signals that have a huge swath of public has believed for years that smartphones are listening to people in order to deliver ads may finally be a reality in certain situations. Until now, there is no evidence that such a capability actually exists, but it's a myth permeated due to the how sophisticated other tracking methods have been. And another story written by 404, which I couldn't get into because it's for public, paid paywall, but you can read the top part of this. Company brags about using smart device microphone audio to target ads on their podcast. If it was a question, the suspicions being just conspiracy theories. No, the companies are coming up. MindSwift is a tiny company that says it's using device microphone data to target ads. MindSwift is a small New Hampshire-based company, in part as a push, a new push that aims to target ads by listening to people's everyday conversations through microphones in their smart devices, according to the new review of a recently deleted section from MindSwift's website and comments made on a podcast unearthed by 404 Media. MindSwift has been deleting details about its technology from the internet in recent days, but two or three founders of the company go into detail about their technology on a small podcast they co-host with Real Business Roundtable, where they give advice to entrepreneurs. MindSwift claims they get access to this data, a type of data, through another vendor who they do not name. And I just looked at, as I'm reading through this, how is this not felony wiretapping? Someone maybe can inform me how that's not federal wiretapping. And we're moving on here as they can get the government to go from to all these places and get this data from you. I want you to put that together with that Neuralink and billions, and everyone, all the youngsters think that they're going to get a Neuralink and be one with a system, and they don't realize what that's really being used for in the future. And the kind of, there is no freedom, there is no privacy, there's nothing left but who controls their devices. And they aren't really savvy to that. And if you think the states won't follow the fascist communist Soviet way in the brave new world, any excuse, folks. Saving the children is a hallmark in the school of social dunces, as we read Florida law banning children from social media and pushing digital ID and online identity verification advances. We think Florida, the bastions of Republican freedom and all. No, these are all the same. This is not even the first or going to be the last state that does this. I just hold out the fact that we can put these states on pedestals, but they're all governments. It doesn't matter. They're all coming after us. Don't know why. Don't know how that happened, but they do. They don't serve us one little bit. They only serve us if it serves them. Ultimately, a form of digital ID would have to be used to verify age. Online anonymity is at risk. Florida is taking legislative steps toward restricting social media access for children. It's for the children, folks, under 16. So I guess under 18 is not a children. Under 16 is now. The bill advanced in the state legislature on Wednesday mandates rigorous age verification and calls for the existing accounts of underage users to be deleted while purging any stored personal information. I've talked about this a little bit. They go after you to make the vigorousness apply to the little one to protect them. The uniparty partisan majority in the Florida House has ratified the bill with a vote of 106 to 13. If you thought there was an outlier, it now awaits the receipt of the Republican majority Senate. The legislation calls for age verification through an independent third party unrelated to the social media platform, ensuring that the children under 16 can open their accounts. But how are they going to know you are not under 16? Unless they make you prove it. In support of legislation, Republican state lawmaker and bill co-sponsor Fiona McFarland equated social media usage designed to trigger dopamine releases to a digital fentanyl. As I sit over and punch like a monkey on all the buttons thinking that, oh no, I thought it was a digital casino. All the flashing lights and the moving pictures and all kinds of stuff. You're nothing but a bunch of digital drug pushers and addicts, folks. That's what Fiona McFarland has to think about you. The implementation of online age verification systems increasingly requiring to roll out the digital IDs has sparked a significant debate, if there is one, about balance between internet safety and free speech. These systems are designed to verify the age of users, ostensibly to protect younger audiences from inappropriate content and to ensure compliance with legal age restrictions. However, they often necessitate the use of digital IDs, which can include personal information like name, age, sometimes even location in your two-minute city, folks. This shift towards digital ID for age verification purposes raises concerns about the erosion of online anonymity, if there ever is one, and the ability to speak under a pseudonym. And I hope a lot of you do that. You don't have to be a criminal to do that, but because of the nature of the digital gulag, they want to know where you are, how you are, who you are, what you say, what you do. You thought criminal. The erosion of online anything, it seems, as we read, Biden SEC's targeting Rumble may influence 2024 election, Representative Byron Donald says, in light of an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission into free speech platform Rumble. Congressman Byron Donald, a Republican from Florida, has voiced concern that the actions of the regulator may be politically motivated and potentially impact the 2024 election, presidential election. I find it interesting whether or not he voted for that act in Florida, whether or not he was concerned whether this would be impact that election, the digital ID, whether it was motivated for politics or some other thing. I mean, does anybody ask these questions? And more, do they interrogate why? What's going on? why are we so important with the children? And we look out in the world and see it's nothing, the government seems to be nothing but a pedophile system. I don't say that because I just want to get sensational. I told you, anybody who's listened to me any length of time understands my history relative to finding that out in state child services systems and judges protecting it. Moving on through here, the implications of it seems to suggest an intention to control Rumble's impact in the 2024 election through the pressure of continuous legal proceedings. Consequently, he sought some clarification from Gensler. The investigation of Rumble pivots on allegations against the company's user metrics. According to a report from activist investment group Culper Research, which has an active short position in the social media platform, meaning that the research group would profit if Rumble's stock dropped. Rumble is accused of boosting its reported monthly active user account. Since the allegations, Rumble's stock price has increased dramatically, showing the consumer investor confidence in the company. If you didn't understand how that worked, boy, that sure took out that short bet, didn't it? He queried whether there had been any communication between Culpepper Research and the SEC, and if the SEC's decision to investigate Rumble was influenced by the research firm's report. Additionally, he questioned the possibility of interference by the Biden administration in the ongoing SEC inquiry into Rumble. And only Rumble, apparently. But speaking of Rumble, make sure to find Sound Minds on Rumble. Give him your support. He's taken on a lot of responsibility relative to the reallibertymedia.com and moving that forward, and I hope you'll support his efforts here, whether it is just a thumbs up, whether it's a comment, whether it's a donation at this time. Again, at reallibertymedia.com, support, donate. You can find the button, cherry red, I hope you've noticed, and go ahead and push that one. There's not two that we have to worry about fretting about making a wrong decision here. Just push the one, and if you can go to PayPal, give us the donation that you can. And I hope you'll support him here as he's moving this thing forward. Him and a crew of people really have Grimner's aspirations in mind as we've been trying to work this thing through and to also bring you behind the woodshed more and hopefully a much more diverse content, hopefully in the near future from others. So again, reminding you that this is February. I'm going to say federated, but February donation month here. Find the donate buttons, and they're being put in more obvious places throughout the site. And do what you can again. I don't know what more to say. I'm not really good at asking for the money. It's a bit of a port, but I know money causes things to work. So I have to ask you for that much. Give what you can and support as you will. But don't wait. The bills are nigh. No, not that buffoon. The other nigh, do it. Donate now. And thank you for whatever you can do. As we work on over and see it's not just the buffoons in America. Britain's mock warmongering lecture by UK Defense Secretary Shapps delivered the address to promote greater investment in military spending in the UK and its European allies. Quote, the era of peace dividend is over, said Shapps in remarks that he has also shared on his profile on the X social media platform. The so-called peace dividend was a proposed reinvestment of government finances toward domestic concerns after the end of the Cold War. The comment may leave many Britons wondering exactly when they enjoyed a peace dividend, as the British government has imposed a policy of economic austerity for a number of years. The UK was also perhaps the US's strongest ally in the so-called War on Terror, which was actually the War of Terror and continuing, which led to the deaths of more than 4.5 million people across the Middle East, according to some estimates. It is at the behest of the Zionist Federation, they called the State of Israel. Quote, the people need to prepare for a new era of conflict with you bastards, wrote the user John Wright, expressing the widespread antipathy towards governing elites in the West. The wars happen when the government tells you who your enemy is. Revolution happens when you work it out for yourself. Insightful comment there. Exactly. Then any peace dividend is but a declaration of war if we're at the end of it, isn't it? The lack of any peace dividend means the war against the Britons never ended. So what's up? And watch out. We can read here more. The comments come as a European media is reporting on supposed leaked documents that allege Russian President Vladimir Putin is planning to launch an attack on Germany and other NATO members in the near future. The claims were dismissed as fake news by Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov as the West continues to push this narrative to scare everybody up into supporting more war, just more war. But relative to UK, again, who's mocking whom? When you get to it, you think the people are. This is my concern about being played as a people. UK police have been secretly using passport database for facial recognition since 2019. I should say, enough said for that. As we can see, it's been going on and on and on. We're late to the party here, and they're now just digitizing everything they've been doing. As we now move on to that Polish story, the digitization, the imposition of these sustainable things and the money to Ukraine is the future they want. They're moving the pieces. It doesn't look like it has much to do with sustainability, but that compounds on top of the theft from the people of the value they need to continue. Is this European farmers' blockades that are going on? In this case, now the Polish farmers have announced a full blockade on Poland-Ukraine border on February the 9th. The growing farmer demonstrations in the European Union show no signs of abating soon as farmers in Poland join the fray to register their distaste of the 27-member bloc agricultural policies. I wonder if they dislike broccoli. The Solidarity Trade Union has appealed to their fellow citizens to cooperate and show understanding regarding the ensuing situation as they fight for their common good to forestall the impoverishment of Polish families. Listen very carefully on this one. The Solidarity Trade Union. The people have to break from the trade unions on this point, at least on this point. Part of the issue is the EU is utilizing Ukraine to outsource its agriculture. So think about that. Look where the Uniparty in America outsourced the manufacturing sector of America to China and elsewhere, where that got us. And this is what they're looking at. So that doesn't touch the irreparable harm caused by the fraud of sustainability that this whole thing has been started by because of the subsidy, the pull of subsidies and the taxation of the, for the carbon. The Solidarity Trade Union is not their fellow citizens. It's an organization. It's not people. It's not production. It's just a creation out of the tertiary part of government. And it has to be this agency, this union, by its own statements, has to be taken down too, not just these policies. As I said, this is a bigger, more complex problem facing people. Talking about another people, where they have to feed themselves, how they have to feed themselves. You steal their food, you're going to kill people. They know exactly what they're doing here. The trade union is not advising correctly. This is not the common good is the farmers producing, not being taxed out of their property for offsourcing to another country that you're stealing from. So this is the Solidarity Trade Union is a foreign change agent from what I can see here, without even knowing much, just how they're responding. They're promoting the EU policy, the bureaucratic policy. The EU itself will impoverish all families in all of Europe if the people forestall the action to oust the EU and that they need to do so before everyone is so impoverished that they cannot resist their oppression or their oppressors. Is the way this goes. They start starving you out. You're not going to be doing much. You're going to be looking for bread. They're not going to give that to you either. Now, you can come with your pitchforks and torches, but it might be too late. You're too weak. You're too disorganized. You didn't get into infighting. The courts are unnecessary in all this either as well. Your equity jurisprudence immediately eschewing fraud. The EU is exposed to be working under color for a self, even foreign interest, And no, those in the EU governance don't have a right of self-defense. Sound familiar? They're guilty of a felony, extortion, and coercion immediately, as well the people and the rest of the people of the other people don't have to agree to any compromise that I hear being talked about in this article and these articles. They only need to support their intention and their way of life and that right to it, and they can go to immediate action for relief from their oppression because there's no government instrumentality here that will help or can help. They've shown themselves to be an enemy, or they've washed their hands of it, as I spoke earlier in the broadcast. And this is imperative for people to start to understand. Try not to talk with your oppressor. You need to go back to your basic life, your basic styles, your needs. You find your production, fortify that. Don't allow these fraudulent excuses. Sustainability goals are fraud. Climate change is a fraud. The inclusion is a fraud. All these things, they're frauds. They are to be eliminated immediately. They don't get an argument. Find those wherever you are and then bring those forward as a foundation and said, these people are our enemies where they are attempting to do this. No one needs to live in austerity. Actually, no one needs to be taxed and extorted to produce that for them. Mother Nature will provide. The people that put themselves in the calling of doing farming or any other production will provide. It's their calling to do so. They should be in the best place. Some bureaucrat anywhere can't do more. It's been proven over and over. Foreigners coming into a land who don't understand it will do more harm than good. And this is what you're finding. Right in your own land is the cancer that needs to be cut out. And I'm hoping people stand up. I'm watching a world that's becoming aware of that and learn a little bit better. I'm a little critical all the time. Everyone wants to get along with their oppressor. Don't do that. Learn to stand on your own. Learn to be independent. Like we saw Orban doing his own, they're controlling their own finances so they can't have monopoly interest. That's what a union is. It's a monopoly interest against your own interest. And you're seeing that. And yet the union will stand up and say, oh, this is about the common good. The common good is providing for your people. The common good is those people that can best provide to be the ones that provide, not be regulated from afar on fraudulent concepts such as global warming, climate change, whatever, all the nonsense. And I hope something I said today will help you understand more how to look out and around the world. Take what you can as lessons. Pick them up as quickly as you can when they start making sense and they seem to work for someone else and they work really well, maybe for a few, three or four or five people. Start picking those up for your own and start putting them in practice. You're going to need to be able to apply the knowledge you think you have because the application will start showing you the holes in what that knowledge has to be, or it will expose you're up against a nemesis that's going to take a whole lot more work than just a bit of knowledge. You may have to have extra help and other skills and talents around you that all see that nemesis and know it needs to be taken out, at least sent out to a daily submersible rock outcropping in the South Pacific and let nature take its course there. And then we're free of all these psychopaths that believe they're chosen to make the decisions for the rest of us. This is a BTW RLM 562. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature World.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.